In April 1995, breakfast radio in the UK was about to be turned on its head.
Chris Evans is a working-class lad from Warrington.
He will need to be managed.
It would never be quite the same again.
The disc jockey Chris Evans,
saviour of Radio 1.
Here we go.
The Chris Evans Breakfast Show was about to launch on BBC Radio 1, and I was part of it.
He just came on with this optimism and energy and zest. Don't worry, I'm here now, it's going to be fine.
God, no! Come on now, I'll be square with you. Been in here for 4 weeks now, should be able to work this studio.
I'm Dan McGrath, or Dan the Soundman, and along with Holly Hotlips and Johnny Boy Revel, we were the team that probably woke you up every morning from the radio for a big chunk of the 90s. For the first time in 25 years, the three of us have got together again to share what really went on behind the scenes of the show that changed British radio forever.
Wonderful music, a talented jock, Monday to Friday from 6:30 to 9 o'clock.
This is Breaking Breakfast.
Previously on Breaking Breakfast.
You or Chris said to me, there's a job that I want you to resign from Virgin Radio for. It's a 7-month contract, but we can't tell you what it is.
So David Campbell, who was the boss of Virgin Radio, I went to see him and I said, Chris and John have said they've got this thing that we've got to do and it's a 7-month contract and I don't know what it is and I don't know, I just don't know what to do. And David, who is this real kind of dynamic boss, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was brilliant. And he just said, Chris and John and an idea and they're not going to tell you and it's 7 months long. You've got to do it. You've absolutely got to do it. And I tell you what, if in 7 months it doesn't go on from there, then you can come back here. And so that's when I resigned.
That was fair, wasn't it?
So fair.
Good man.
And it was just brilliant.
So at this point, I was in a kind of hiatus where I'd now said to the guys at Planet, I want to take some time out of the Big Breakfast. I want to go and do something else. And I was trying to get presenter work. And me and a mate, Mitch, were like filming stuff and trying to get jobs as presenters. And I went and auditioned for live TV, which was something that Janet Street Porter and Nick Ferrari had set up.
Oh, yes.
Which then turned into this kind of soft porn channel.
Topless Darts.
Yeah, Topless Darts. And, and they realised...
Were you going for the Topless Darts?
No. Although I could have done back
then. Well, your tits were big enough.
I know, exactly. Thank you very much. And I auditioned along with a load of other kids and they, you know, did film us up, whatever. Did the audition and got a phone call from Nick Ferrari saying... We want you to come and be a presenter on live TV.
No
and
way.
As he phoned me, Chris had already rung me and gone, come upstairs. So I'd gone up to the penthouse flat they lived in, which had kind of a fridge full of pink champagne, a scale extra and a fruit machine,
that's
I think.
About it, wasn't
that
it?
Was his life, yeah. And some pants and a girlfriend. And he said, I've been asked to present the Radio 1 Breakfast Show. And I'm so excited about it, I want to go to the toilet, which is why I want to do it. And I was like, right, do you want to come and do it? And I was like, the Radio 1 Breakfast, I'm in the back of my mind thinking, it's the Radio 1 Breakfast Show, of course I do. But I think I said I'd think about it or something. So when Nick Ferrari phoned me and said, we want you to be a presenter, I said, I've been asked to do the Radio 1 Breakfast Show with Chris Evans. And he just went, well, there's no competition. Have a good time, you know, have a good time, yeah. And go and do it. Click, you know. And years later, I told Nick Ferrari this. I saw him at something. I said, you told me to go and do it. Well, I made the right decision, didn't I? Because that was a piece of shit that day.
It was.
So that was it. So he just said to me, you need to meet with this bloke, John. We must have had a kind of official across a table in a pub, like, okay, this is going to happen. And as with most meetings with you, you were like, it'll all be brilliant. Don't worry. See you Monday.
And it was.
And it was. No, because I think you knew it would probably be fine with the people that he tried to stick together. I don't know.
Wake up, it's a beautiful morning. Chris Evans on your radio. Wake up, it's a beautiful. Chris Evans with your breakfast show.
When we were going to announce, you know, because there was a lot of rumour floating around that Chris was going to do this and we were trying to keep it under wraps. And this is so funny because this is the BBC did this. We said, right, why don't we do a covert meeting with Chris and Matthew.
Oh, at the
set
bench.
It up. Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
And have and tip off the Sun. But the Sun were all involved in it.
Yeah.
And they have a snapper in a bush that takes a blurred shot of Chris. And so we went, and we're all having this meeting, you know, with the PR people and yep. the whatever, and the marketing yep. people. And they went, yeah, we'll do that. And I'm sitting there thinking, bloody hell, this is the BBC and they are, you know, going to do this, you know, just pretend that, you know, this is happening. So it was a Saturday morning, I remember it. And I think I was with Chris. We met down on the South Bank. Matthew comes along, hello, and we're just having a chat. And then the snapper from the Sun turns up, and there's PR and everybody else there from Freud's, and they'll turn up. We go, right, so right, Chris and Matthew, you go over there. There's some coffee waiting on there. You go and have a couple of coffee on that bench. Photographer Phil, you get in that bush over there, and then see if you can, you know, almost like put a bit of Vaseline over the
bit of dingle in the front,
yeah, just to. And that's what it was, and then. Yeah, it was all set up.
And that
up.
Was when it was announced in the
yeah, and then the Sun go exclusive. We've caught Matthew Bannister, boss of Radio 1, having a secret meeting with Chris Evans, and that was it. Yeah, and I thought, oh, this is so funny, isn't it? This is what we're doing, and this is how it all works, everybody. Radio 1 was in at a place called Egerton House, which was that horrible, soulless 1950s building,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
Next door to Broadcasting House. So yeah. We needed some offices. So I said to Matthew, look, we've got to have some offices. He said, well, I'd rather you be in the building so you can integrate with everybody and be part of the team and all of that. Bearing in mind that everybody fucking hated us at Radio 1 and nobody would talk to us. Yeah.
But was that because we were an independent production company?
Yes. Wasn't it also that Matthew was, you know, being seen to be sort of sacking the old guard, clearing out the old guard? And I think the people in that building who were the old guard from the bottom to the top, from the DJs down to wherever, were all a bit pissed off, thinking, well, this is, I thought I was here forever and he's sacking.
Exactly. So
rightly that, so, sacking that, a lot of them now.
That's
as we
exactly.
know, you know.
So the presenters and the old production guys, you know, they were all going. So there was no love lost between them and us, for sure.
Stay with us now as we continue.
Now it's back to 1FM's Steve Wright in the Afternoon.
Coming up, a fruit montage. We'll be back with Newman and Badil after that. Then.
So I remember in the early days, though. Originally, pilot-wise, it was supposed to be Chris and Dan doing the breakfast show. You were producing it and I was researching it and booking the celebrities for, like, personality or person and all
That's
those
right.
features. But then, through the three pilots we did, I think we only actually really did one, maybe, you or Chris said, actually, all four of us are going to be on air together.
I wasn't.
Oh, were you
sorry,
not?
No, because I said to Chris, I think it would be better if we had Holly or a female voice in there just to give it a bit of dynamic. So
I didn't talk for
no,
a long
then,
time.
Then we put hole. So we put
scared.
Hole in there purely because she was around.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we can't be asked to go and find somebody else. Hole, get in there. put your headphones on.
No, but the way, that show only worked because we were all mates.
Yeah, we know.
And that's, you know.
But that first show, trying to differentiate the actual first live show, and I think the reason I've got memories of it is there is footage somewhere, isn't there, of him, you know, him kind of vibing everybody up.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yes, it's my show. I'm here now. It's BBC Radio 1.
And then is that when they famously tells one of the press guys off or something? Is that
the
first
show? Because
they
were all in the studio, weren't they?
Yeah,
they
were all kind of gathered round us while we were doing it.
It's just calm down. I'll leave. Just calm down, all right?
No, you don't look it, mate. Jesus Christ.
Well, we have been waiting for 4 hours. I know it's not your fault.
It's nothing to do with me, so don't bring that kind of atmosphere and attitude into this happy studio, all right?
But all the press were in the studio with us. I had all my musical instruments. You know, I had, like, tambourines
and
klaxons and you guys
get the percussion bag.
I would be in the other room. I would be in the control room, so I was out of all that. But it was a nightmare, and the press are a pain in the ass at stuff like that because they're all trying to get the shot, and you know, you're trying to do a show, broadcast a show.
Bobby Brown earning his part of the household's keep with that new song. I love that song. It's a good song. It's Bobby Brown. So you can play that game. Good morning and welcome to your life again on this Monday morning. It's the start of a brand new day and a brand new week. It's Monday, April the 24th, 1995. It's BBC Radio Radio 1 hits the biggest breakfast show in the whole land, the BAFTAs last night. I'll tell you all about those later on, as I was there. And by the way, if you haven't heard this, hang on a second, this is the sound of a BAFTA being hit with a rather cheap biro.
All of our jingles that you had pre-recorded, Dan.
Do you remember that, Dan?
He'd said to me, I remember he'd said, I don't want the show to sound like the rest of Radio 1.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Matthew and what Matthew was doing. I think he just realised that the way, you know, he wanted it to stand out, spike right out of the speakers, you know. So he said, let's just do all our own jingles. And, you know, he'd always had that notion of everything being a bit more tin pot.
Bounce, 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 bounce out of bed. Pull back those sheets, spring to your feet with the one with the ginger head.
And that was that. Those jingles were a lesson in just having to get something done as well. Do you remember? Because we literally found a load of backing
you
tracks.
You and me sat there and went through the music library stuff.
That's
and
right.
We listened to wrote cheesy
all
the, old,
the yeah, old stuff. Wrote all the words out and then went into the studio with Kerry Murphy.
Yeah.
And she and I sang them all live at the same time. We didn't multi-track it.
I'd play in play the
we'd
record.
We'd stand
in,
around the mic vinyl. And sing in all these jingles. And they go, that's done, that's done. No mastering. No, we didn't ask anybody whether they thought they were any good or not.
No.
And then I just feed them into him every day on a,
on
the old machine.
Carts. Yeah, the old tape carts which would play and then you'd have to wait 40 seconds for it to get back round to the start again.
It happens in the morning and I can't quite put my finger on it, but I want you to know. I wake up with you by my side, can't live without you though I've tried. Chris, the sexy breakfast show.
But it worked and it had a vibe, didn't it?
It suited the show.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they weren't polished.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. 06:30 till 9 a.m. Touch that knob and turn us on. It's Chris on Radio 1.
So we're on the air, we get this thing on the air, don't we? And it kind of stumbles on and it's going,
April 1995, wasn't it?
We all went on the air as relatively normal people, you know, average people, I guess.
Yeah.
In a very non-average world. You know, we were, I mean, I it was, again, it was a, and excuse the mid-90s pun, it was a blur. And I can remember going at the time, I remember thinking, or not thinking at the time, how the gravity of what I was doing. I was on the Radio 1 breakfast show. And I, you know, and you listen to it as a kid and I was like, and I look back now and think, I don't remember sitting in the studio and going, I'm doing the Radio 1 breakfast show. I just went in and went, this is great. This is a brilliant, this is mad. What am I doing? But the thread with Evans was obvious from The Big Breakfast and all those other radio shows that he needed foils and he needed a lot of input so that he could bounce off it. It's as simple as that. And all of a sudden we're on the Radio 1 breakfast show piloting it and it's just me and him in a room and it probably felt like, oh my God, what am I doing? You know, and rightly so, I think. And I've got, you know, honkers and noises to keep the energy up.
Yeah.
But with him, it's like, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Everyone's got to go into fifth gear. So it made sense for you to be on because it was another input.
Yeah.
And then I remember John was on a talkback to our headphones from the control room. So we'd be chatting away. And then, of course, something would happen and John would jump in with a quip, which was always dead funny. So Chris just went, right, get him in, you know, because it was silly that you were out there having to go. And then the barman said, you know, whatever, you'd make a quip. And we go, this is gold dust. You know, it's great. So just get him in. And so that was the whole point. It became more of a kickabout zoo.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it was, he was born from that or wanted that from The Big Breakfast through to Toothbrush, through to everything. You know, it had to be that brilliant kind
dynamic.
Of, that brilliant mayhem. Yeah. You know,
I can do it much quicker than he did it.
Oh, yeah.
So he can peel Satsuma John with 3½ fingered hand.
Excellent.
What do you think?
Terrific. Let's get him on the show.
Let's get him on the show, John. Let's fill in some more moments.
Yes.
Some of those gaps that you so perfectly leave. There goes another one.
But we kind of broadcast to each other, didn't we? That was the thing in the studio. And especially in those months when we started, we were making each other laugh. And whether it was the names or the voices or the jokes or the people we got on the phones, it was us having a laugh. And it was so real as well, you know, what we were doing in the studio. We kind of had running orders and scripts, didn't we, in the early days? But we never really
we
did them, did we,
no,
John?
We'll come
and we
back
never
to
really
that.
Played music.
That's in episode 56. It was was very depressing being in the basement of this already depressing building, and the studio was really depressing.
With depressing people who hated us.
Depressing, yeah. Anyway, we were trying to be happy and upbeat every day. So we move up to that office up on the roof of Eton House. We had the balcony and everything.
Yeah, we did.
And it was lovely, wasn't it? We could see across Oxford Street and the BBC and All Souls Church next door, and it had a flagpole.
On the flagpole?
Nothing.
Nothing.
There was nothing. So Chris goes, we've got a flagpole. Get a flag. Get a ginger flag. It'll be amazing. So I said to Kim, I said, right, so PA. The ginger logo was a pair of specs and always was.
That's right.
So I said to her, right, find a flag making company.
Brilliant.
And we drew a little sketch. I said, now get a flag made. And this, it was quite big. It was like about 3 metres by 5 metres, you know. So
it was a proper
big
flag.
Yeah.
So anyway, and we forget about this. And then we come back after the show one day back up to the office, and there's this great big box, and I said to Kim, what's that? She said, oh, I think it's the flag. I said, oh, I've forgotten about that. Let's have a look. We opened it and we pulled this flag out, and it was white with these big orange or ginger specks.
That's right.
And it was fantastic. And Evo comes up and he goes, that's brilliant. Let's get it up.
We hadn't told anyone.
No, so we put this flag up out on the pole, and we're like, that is fantastic.
Yeah.
That's amazing. The big ginger flag, the big
the
ginger
top
specks.
Of Regent Street.
And literally within about 3 minutes, the phone rings, and I could hear Kim going, yep, yeah, hold on, yep. 1 second, I'll just put John on. Yeah. John, yeah. Yeah, it's Matthew. There's the flag. Where's that come from? Right. So
you'll
have to take it down. So I went, okay, I'll have a word with Chris. We'll sort this out. And I said, gold dust. I said, we're on.
Yeah.
The flag is going to be Flaggate. So we phoned up the Sun.
That's right.
Because the Sun are around the next morning with the photographers and
taking pictures of the flag.
And then so Chris goes on the air.
We all go on the air. Banning people from our office. Yeah, so
and
they couldn't come
and
in.
It gives us about 3 days. Well, Chris goes on and goes, what do you think, listeners? We got flag, you know, should we take it down or should we leave it up? Going nuts, wasn't it? And
because we did it live on
air.
And then
Matthew, so come off the air, Matthew's on the phone. John, you've got this is really getting out of hand. This is it's internally the management.
The BBC.
And then I get a call day three, this is still going on, and save the flag and the Sun.
The flag.
I don't remember.
The
Sun did a whole thing on it. Yeah.
So funny.
And Kim says, there's somebody on the phone for you, John. So I go, hello. And he said, who am I speaking to? John Rebel. And he said, and what are you in relation to this company? And I said, well, I'm managing director of Ginger Air, but I said, I'm exec producer of The Breakfast Show. I said, and who are you? He said, my name's, Dick Phillips. I'm manager of Properties BBC. And he said, you are infringing BBC rule XYZ 1234.
The flag rule.
With the flag. It's
flag clause
it's
3.
Illegal to fly a non-BBC flag on a BBC property. He said, so you'll have to take it down. So I said, well, I'll have to check with Mr. Evans if you bear with me a second.
Yep. Two-word answer.
Chris, head of properties, we're breaking some BBC bylaw. We've got to take the flag down. What shall I say to him? He said, tell him to fuck off. Right. I said, hello. I've spoken with Mr. Evans.
Yes.
He says, fuck off. I said, I beg your pardon. Well, I said, I don't really want to say it again, but yeah. So he said, so you're not taking the flag down? I said, not really, no. So then the next day, Matthew comes in, he says, John, it's gone all the way to John Burt's office. So John Burt was the director general of the BBC. Yeah. It's gone all the way. Can you take that bloody flag down? And we'd had about 4 days run at it in the Sun. I said, Matthew, look, you're in the Sun every day.
Yeah. And we talked about it on air.
Yeah, talking about it on the air, the Sun, that's
funny.
Driving listeners to the radio station. You can't buy this.
Yeah.
This is gold dust, radio gold, this.
Did we take the flag down?
So in there, and he said, John, I get it. He said, but please take the flag down because I'm now having to deal with John Burt, who's the director of the General
of
the BBC.
Flesh, yeah.
So I go back to Evan and I say, I think we'll have to take the flag down, Chris. I said, Matthew's about to have a heart attack. And then we took it down. But that was, again, just one of those great things that we used to do. It was born out of nothing.
Yeah. It was
but
funny.
But suddenly became
yeah.
a whole thing, and we were getting national press on it. The miserable sods within the BBC, it was ruining their days and keeping them awake at night.
There was a lot of bureaucracy, wasn't there? I remember having to call, after we did a show, we were doing the feature called Personality or Person. Do you remember?
Yeah.
We'd get a famous person on, ask them really mundane questions, and it would just be a laugh. Chris would have a laugh with them on air. And I thought, I know who'd be a really good person to book. Princess Margaret, because she, you know...
Talk about start high and work your way down.
But Chris always gave me that way of thinking ever since I was 19. Yeah.
Just go for it.
Aim for the stars, you
know?
They
can only say no.
Because they can only say no. Yeah. You always used to say that as well, John. And so I phoned Buckingham Palace...
As you do.
Phoned the press office and said, hello, my name's Holly. Holly Samos. Fading from the Chris Evans Breakfast Show.
Click.
And no. They took my request and I said, you know, I'd like to put a bid in for Princess Margaret to get her on the show. It's a phone interview. Went through the whole shebang about it. And I said, I'll send you an email to back it up. And so they put the phone down. It was fine. And then later that day, I remember having to come to you, John, because there, apparently within the BBC, there was a royal department. And the royal
protocol in the BBC.
Bureaucratic people.
Margaret direct.
Yes, I was totally out of order, apparently, because I had phoned Buckingham Palace directly. And you got involved, and I think Chris may have got involved as well, with this royal protocol department, because I had jumped over their job roles and you know, had the audacity to make a phone call myself. She never came on, can I just say? She never came on.
She wouldn't know the cost of a pint of milk, would she?
No.
Probably a bottle of gin, yeah.
Next time on Breaking Breakfast.
I'm hanging out of one window with this megaphone, and Dan's about five desks down hanging out another window.
I remember phoning Hello Magazine to try and get celebrities. Which celebrities are going to be at Dan and Lisa's wedding?
And there was a bloke at this label called Simon Cowell.
Ready, be coming to DJ. And off it would go, you know.
I'm Holly Samos, and this is Breaking Breakfast. Use the hashtag #BreakingBreakfast, all one word, to talk about it on social. Leave us a review or rating and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. It's recorded at Canon Studios and the series producer is Nick Goodman. Breaking Breakfast is a Bounce production.